Since being introduced onto the market in 1955, Pencross has set the standard for creeping bentgrass among bentgrasses. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, there was a series of new bentgrasses introduced onto the market. All of these had either improved heat tolerance, improved drought tolerance, they had greater resistance to our diseases, and many of them exhibited more upright growth in addition to narrow leaf blades. So the last two characteristics, as a result of the upright growth and the narrow leaf blades, the result of that is a higher shoot density or more shoots per square inch. Now, depending on the management strategy of the turf manager, Pencross, the shoot density ranges from between 1,300 and 1,800 shoots per square decimeter, as opposed to the higher density cultivars of bentgrass, which exhibit between 2,000 and 2,700 shoots per square decimeter. One of the results of this higher shoot density is a greater ability to resist invasion from annual bluegrass, which is often a key idea of being a turf manager. So new golf courses are able to utilize these improved cultivars, but existing courses, there's really no way to get these in without total renovation. One strategy that turf managers might be able to use is interseeding. Many people have tried these alternative interseeding strategies. Intraseeding has not been real successful. Kendrick and Danneberger had little success intraseeding Pen G2 into an established Pencross putting green using spring and fall seeding dates. There's been a little bit more luck when it comes to interseeding. Henry et al., using summer seeding dates, was able to establish over 70% of A4 and L93 into a Poa annua putting green. So the problem with interseeding or intraseeding, the process creates an interesting dilemma. Gap size, or the level of disruption, is a characteristic that is closely related to the success of interseeding. However, too much disruption is going to disrupt the playing surface, and the idea, the advantage of interseeding is kind of lost. So because the disruption needs to be minimized, the priority of emergence, or the speed of germination, becomes a very key characteristic. So when we're looking at our germination characteristics, superior characteristics are needed, because in this situation, the pressure from the surrounding turf is going to be so high. And as our rules are done now, the current guidelines really provide little information when it comes to the germination characteristics between cultivars of creeping bentgrass. They're seeded, and there's an initial count made at so many days after seeding, and then there's a final count made at the end. And this gives us information about seed viability, which is the final germination percentage, but how that seed gets that final percentage, what happens along the way, there's really not much known about that. There's also been some conflicting reports out there about the influence of seed size on these different germination characteristics. So the objectives of our research were to determine if the improved varieties of cultivars of bentgrass possess superior germination characteristics compared to the established Pencross, and also, is there a difference between the seed weights of these creeping bentgrass cultivars, and if so, what relationship, is there a relationship to the germination characteristics? The methods that we used, all these tests were conducted at the Iowa State University Seed Testing Laboratory. All the tests were conducted according to the Association of Official Seed Analysts guidelines. To determine the seed weights, I used an Ames blower set at a slightly higher temperature or a higher pressure than normally is used. And I separated a known quantity of seed into two seed fractions, a light and heavy fraction. I used 15 commercial varieties of creeping bentgrass. 14 of these were considered improved cultivars, and the one standard was Pencross. During the germination period, I made counts once or twice daily, and the parameters that we were interested in were mean germination time, or speed of germination, T10 to 90, which is synchrony, and a final germination percentage, which relates to the viability of the seed. So here's a table of the cultivars we used. There were five different sources of seed, all of which came from production year 2007. And because past literature has shown that there's difference in characteristics or performance among different lots of seed, our 15 cultivars were represented by numerous seed lots between 2 and 4. So a little bit more about the methods. They were planted in a germination box on two layers of germination paper. The germination paper was soaked in 0.2% potassium nitrate. We placed 100 seeds. Four reps of 100 seeds were placed on the blotters. They were then placed in a chill chamber, which was at 5 degrees C for 7 days. Following that procedure, they were moved to a germination chamber, which was set at 15 Celsius, and the seeds were allowed to germinate. And this is when I counted them. When I would take them out of the chamber and open up the box, this was toward the end. They always were not this easy to count, but this is what the bentgrass seeds looked like toward the end of the study. So I took my data and I fit the data using a logistic function. I obtained predicted values, and from those predicted values, I ran an ANOVA to determine the germination characteristics. So while the seeds were germinating, because it's such a steep curve at the beginning, this is when I counted twice daily, and then toward the end, when most of the seeds had germinated, I moved to counts once per day. So looking at our overall effects, our main effects, two asterisks are significant at the 0.01 level, and one asterisk is significant at the 0.05 level. We had significant differences for all four of our parameters, mean germination time, T10 to 90, final germination percentage, and seed weight. Now the means below are contrasts between the standard, which was Pencross, and the 14 improved cultivars. We kept our significance for mean germination time, T10 to 90, and final germination percentage, but there were no significant differences in the seed weights of the standard between the improved cultivars. So breaking it down one more step, Pencross, the standard, is located across the top, and there's a lot of information on this chart. The numbers in red show significant differences. I'll read through these briefly. For mean germination time, T1, PEN-A4, Crystal Blue Lynx, PEN-Lynx 2, PEN-A1, Independence and Declaration, all germinated significantly faster compared to Pencross. Looking at germination synchrony, L93, T1, Alpha, Crystal Blue Lynx, 007, Independence and Declaration, all germinated with superior synchrony compared to Pencross. Final germination percentage, L93, T1, PEN-A1, Tai, 007, and Mackenzie, had higher final germination percentage values compared to Pencross. And as far as seed weights, T1 and Alpha had significantly larger seed weights compared to Pencross as compared to 007, which had a significantly smaller seed size. So the final step was to look at those seed weights and if they had any correlation with our germination parameters. And in fact, seed weight did. This was an inverse relationship. As seed weight increased, our mean germination time decreased. So this might be a way to just look at the weight of the seed and predict how it might germinate as far as speed without needing to do these tedious germination tests. Seed weight regressed on germination synchrony was not correlated, as was final germination percentage on seed weight. So conclusions from this research, cultivars of creeping bentgrass do in fact differ in their germination characteristics. In general, our newer, improved varieties do possess superior mean germination time, germination synchrony, and final germination percentage compared to Pencross. And picking one winner, I guess, of all the cultivars, T1 did outperform Pencross in all three parameters, so that was one thing that kind of stood out to us. Seed weights also vary among the cultivars of creeping bentgrass, and this was an inverse relationship. So really what this means to me when we're trying to convert through interseeding, because that process is done under such high competition and minimal disruption is needed, that perhaps the success or failure of the seed sown in these environments could be directly related to cultivar selection, meaning that if we choose the wrong cultivar of creeping bentgrass, the process isn't going to work. It's difficult enough already, and a cultivar selection needs to be one factor that's considered. So this work is, the results of this work are being implemented into an interseeding program that we're doing on an established putting green, and I hope to present those results next year. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions. Yes, in the back.
The different lots that you used in study, what years do they correspond to? How many different years of production?
All of our seed lots came from production year 2007. Yes.
You compared the. Thanks, Dave.
Go, Frank.
Yeah, you compared the improved varieties to Pencross.
Right.
How about to each other? Because, I mean, let's face it, not a lot of guys are putting Pencross in anything. So, right. How did T1 do? Your conclusion with regard to T1 better than Pencross?
Right.
Is T1 better than the other high shoot density grasses?
As far as differences between. The improved varieties, yeah, there were less differences there, and the reason for that is probably because of the way bentgrass is bred, these being synthetic cultivars. We could glean that out by looking at the data, but there are a lot less differences there, yes.
So just an improved cultivar over pentgrass is what the guy should do.
Well, yeah, because the reason I wanted to look at that was some of the interseeding research, people have used Pencross, and so maybe the reason that didn't work is because they were using Pencross. Is there a difference between these new varieties? And the answer is yes. Yes.
You said you did blowing. Did you get different fractions out of these different lots when you did the blowings?
Yes, I did.
So, like, were some of them getting a lot more or less?
Well, that was the numbers that I used for my ANOVA. Yeah, when I separated it into two seed fractions, a light fraction and a heavy fraction, and I weighed the heavy fraction, and yes, there were some lots had significantly higher weights or parts of the heavy fraction, yes.
Have you ever been to a seed cleaning plant?
Yes, I have, actually.
Okay. You've seen how they can separate things based upon screens and blowing points, even at the seed cleaning plant.
Yes.